to live righteously.
All right. Check 1, 2, 3.
Check. Talk. David O. McKay.
Here we go.
David O. McKay.
Remember the O.
Remember the fielding.
Did I mention the feelings? Coming down in 3, 2, 1. It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It's articles of news for the week of the 16th of January. And it's not Christmas, that's for sure. But look who's here. It's Molly Jenny.
Good aloha.
Hello. Good morning. Great to have you here. As we found out this morning, we have a new prophet, and we'll talk about that in the second half of Articles of News.
We sure will.
We also have a new first counselor, which I may or may not have called, and we'll talk about that coming up. Not like I called him to be the first counselor, but that's not what I meant. I meant, we'll get into it in the second half of Articles of News. Yeah. So that plus other speculation coming up.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Last time we recorded was on Christmas Day.
I know. Thank you for being so willing to be back here.
Uh-huh.
I have to tell you, a special thanks to the Reverend John Dye.
Mm-hmm.
He and I hung out because I have a man friend and his name is the Reverend John Dye.
Amazing.
He bought me lunch.
Uh-huh.
He saved my seat for me.
Uh-huh.
When I got a little sleepy.
What event was that?
I got a little sleepy. I'm getting there.
Oh, okay.
When I got a little sleepy at the funeral of President Thomas S. Monson, he let me curl up onto his nook.
Aww.
So I know just a little bit more about how you feel, and I'm grateful for the Reverend John Dye. He and I and Monica Moore Smith, previous guest here in the Cultural Hall, we went to the conference center and sat live, probably 25, 30 rows back, maybe more. I don't know.
Okay.
I have no depth perception in the conference center because you could fit a jet in that place.
I've heard.
But it was awesome. It was awesome to be at the funeral service for President Thomas S. Monson and less full than I thought.
Well, I heard that. I want to ask you about that. But is this the first funeral of a general authority that you have attended in person?
Attended in person, yes. I watched all of President Hinckley's stuff on TV, and I watched some of President Benson's, I believe, on TV.
Hmm.
Was he the one that was buried in Idaho?
I don't know.
Or is that Elder President Hunter? Whoever is buried in Idaho, not Salt Lake, I watched most of that one, too.
Mm. Cool.
Way less. They didn't even have anybody in the third level of the conference center.
That's what I heard.
And I think what happened was, I think the images of people standing in line at the viewing for President Monson deterred people from going. Mm-hmm. I also think that since most people had either Friday off from school or Monday off, decided to go away for the weekend and said, you know what, I can watch that on an app.
Sure.
And decided not to take it in person.
Yeah, yeah. If they just thought there will be too many people or I shouldn't go. Certainly there will be family members.
Yeah, I'll never get in.
Yeah.
Did you watch any of it?
No.
Hear anything? Hear anyone report back about it? Ask the Reverend John Dye what his thoughts were?
I did, yeah.
What was his takeaway?
Well, he gave me kind of the brief rundown of just how many speakers, how many musical numbers. It was President Monson's daughter, Ann Dibb, spoke. And
who used to be the Relief Society
She had a calling.
Yeah. She was in either the Young Women's or Relief Society presidency at some point.
I feel bad that I don't remember offhand. And that President Eyring and President Uchtdorf spoke as well. And President Nelson?
President Nelson spoke as well.
Yeah.
One of the takeaways for me immediately of President Nelson was, I think it was Elder Eyring who was conducting, who at one point said, thank you for joining us this session. And I thought that was sort of funny because it was like, and some people that are critical of it would say it felt like a session of general conference, right? Very programmed talks with a theme and a mode and kind of an urge for us to be like President Monson at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was kind of fascinating. The session dropped, but President Nelson, after Elder Eyring introduced him, Elder Eyring hadn't even walked away from the podium before he was like, move over, I'm ready. I'm spry, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a thing that I love about President Nelson. Another thing that I noticed that I did not notice with any of the other speakers, and you can go back and look at this, and this may just be conspiracy theory Richie, but President Nelson seemed to look up. Like, as I'm looking at you in the eyes, he seemed to be looking up, which isn't where the prompter is for people.
No.
The prompter either straight ahead or a little bit down. Mm-hmm. So to me, I sort of was like, oh, okay, getting a little bit of it from God. That's cool.
Yeah.
Whether or not that's real or whether or not he saw, you know, in vision or was, you know what I'm saying? Right. I don't know. I kind of assert those sort of values to it, but maybe not.
He's not an unskilled speaker. You know, different people who have served in these capacities are more enjoyable to listen to in general or, you know, maybe not. But interesting. Yeah, I will check that out.
What else did he say? What else did the Reverend John Dye say?
He gave that report and just same actually that you said that that President Nelson just seemed really, if not eager, then certainly at the ready.
Yeah. My other two takeaways that are not as great, I think, that speak to me as a person. One is the casket for President Monson was really awesome, and I couldn't get past the idea of, I wonder how much that casket cost.
Those things are expensive.
Because they're just in general, right?
Like, what was awesome about it?
It was ornate woodwork. It was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous. I also, sort of along with this, and this is kind of a 1.5, there was this like fake grass rug that was sort of over the top of it, and I almost like a Hawaiian skirt.
Okay.
With the flowers on the top, and I wondered if there was significance of that kind of grass skirt, because I've just seen flowers before, and I've seen that before, but I don't know what the significance of it is.
So, to my knowledge, that sort of thing, could that spray of flowers that is on, and Janae and I may know more about this than I do.
Because she does the flowers.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
her business. Diamond. Wedding.
She's very good.
She's great.
The spray of flowers could have some sort of significance, like this number of white, like maybe he had three of one color to represent his children.
Sure.
And then a million others to represent the grandchildren and 10 million to represent the great grandchildren.
Yeah, it wasn't the flowers or the arrangement on the top. It was
just the grass?
It was like this green grass, like someone had taken the green of a golf course or like the strip from the mini putt-putt golf course.
Okay.
And sort of put it underneath the spray. And so I just didn't know if it was, you know, so it'll lay smooth, so that it'll be even. So that was one takeaway.
Yeah.
The second takeaway for me that is admittedly distracting, as you watch the family come in, there was one guy in kind of some shiny slacks and a Carhartt hoodie without a tie.
Hmm.
And I want to know who that guy was.
Okay.
I got sort of obsessed with the idea of, who is this guy?
Yeah, that he's in President Monson's family.
That he's in President Monson's family and that he's not wearing a tie. And I'm not coming after him.
But it's of note.
Yeah, but it's different. It was definitely different from a lot of it. I heard from kind of behind me that one of his sons, I think, is estranged from him.
Okay.
Though I don't know that.
I don't either.
And to known who have been grandchildren of apostles, like that is hard to have grandpa or dad be a lifelong church member.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't toe that same line, or even if you do toe that same line, but maybe have some different political feelings or different feelings about certain doctrines, or even if you're completely in line, you know, it could still be difficult. And I'm not even asserting that that's what this person did or was or has, but I just found myself going back to the thought of, this is great. I love hearing the talks about President Monson serving people, but I want to know what the story with that guy is.
Yeah, maybe next time we should have a little, let's all introduce each other and
who is
stand
that
up
guy?
And, well, how old was this person?
He's probably 40.
Okay.
So he wasn't a young kid, though I did think it was sort of funny, too. The longer-haired teenage boys of the Monson, you know, generation or the Monson
family
genealogy. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Just the, you know, watching them being like, and it doesn't matter. I had no thing. But it was very funny to be like, you see his son who, oh my gosh, looks like his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe even it was a grandson, but it was like, that is a Monson as well. The other thing that I thought was interesting watching Ann Dibb speak, I never realized how much she looks like her dad.
Oh, yeah.
So much.
Yes.
So much.
Yeah. The kind of speaking mannerisms of their
smile.
The
eyes and the nose.
Yeah, the twinkle in her eye.
How have I never noticed this about her before?
Yeah.
And then it was fun, too, because Monica Moore Smith and my parents also joined us for dinner afterwards. We FaceTimed you.
Yes, we
As we went to Costa Vida, which means the coast of Vida.
Life.
Ah, dang it. I knew it meant something.
See.
And, you know, had the salad. My favorite part was the Reverend John Dye decided to buy for us, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what an awesome awesome guy for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents, though, decided to split a meal. You know, oh my gosh, this is so nice of you, John. Turns out that my my parents know Jensen, that's John's kid, really well. Because my dad is in the bishopric of his singles ward. So they knew him really well. My dad didn't know that that was the Reverend John Dye's son at all, but knows, you know, him really well. And I found this struggle in the Reverend John Dye with me and my parents, that he felt himself associating more with my parents than with me, and it made him feel super old. And then lastly, right as we were sort of leaving each other, Monica Moore Smith and my parents had never ridden in a Lyft before. And so I got on my phone and I ordered them a Lyft and I sent them back to the conference center from where we had gone. And I was like, they'll take care of you. And they're like, how will we know? How will they know where to go? I'm like, I've already entered it in. She'll drop you at the point that I marked. Wait, do we have to pay them? No, no, I've
taking
already paid
of.
For it. Do we have to tip them? Please just get in the car. This is a modern piece of, you know.
Listen, we live in the future. It's fine. You guys will be fine.
So just get in the car. You'll be fine. And I thought that was kind of a fun thing. But I really loved Elder Holland's prayer. A lot of people are like, this is the way that it's a heartfelt thing at this at the funeral. Because if there was a takeaway, and I feel this way too, not super personal, but I'm about President Monson, but I'm sure that that's because it was an international service, right? Mm-hmm. It was very much he was president, and he served the people, and he loved the people, and the church will be great and continue on without him.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would have loved is he loved pigeons, he loves lime rickeys, and
and he can wiggle his ears.
Yeah, and he can wiggle his ears and, you know, and curve his tongue and, you know, make it into a gullet like a seagull or whatever, right? Or pelican.
Yeah.
And that was a thing that was missing for me. But yeah, President Nelson spry. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So great.
Yeah. I didn't realize that your parents know Jensen. That's cool.
Yeah.
Jensen's a good kid.
Yeah. Well, he's your kid.
Yeah.
Of course he's a good kid.
Yeah. I like him a lot. But he, but John did say that, I'm sorry, the Reverend John Dye, my husband,
the Reverend John Dye
did say that he enjoyed getting to know you more and feels like he knows you more after talking with your parents.
Yeah.
So
to be fair, stepmom and dad.
Correct.
So let's not, that is not my mom.
Listen, if Jensen's my kid, then that's your mom.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Fine.
Right?
Fine. Other things that have been going on for you or for me? Do you want to go next?
You.
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I will post a picture on the Cultural Hall's Instagram, but we have initiated the work to destroy my basement.
Oh, yeah. Was that your project yesterday?
Yeah, well,
or
so I am having help. For people who don't know, you can follow the hashtag TheHomesteadman.
That's so smart.
Molly Jenny might have come up with the name. And you can kind of follow along the progress of what it is. I did the upstairs, tore it all apart myself.
And it looks amazing.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
But now as I look forward to the basement, I just don't want to do it anymore.
Mm.
There will be things that I will do, but I'm lucky enough to be in a financial situation where I just went to a guy and I said, hey, guy, this is what I want. And he said, I'll take your money and I'll make it to be what you want. And it's super affordable, so I'm still really lucky. But I've had two guys working in my basement for the last week, tearing it apart.
Awesome.
Tearing literally everything out of it, down to the nothingness.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take the fireplace out and lower it to the ground. They've taken all the studs out, all the ceiling, all the what there was, although not much, insulation, which actually kind of a cool thing. In one of the rooms, the insulation that they put on the ceiling was old Quaker State-like propaganda posters.
Yeah.
Just awesome. Like in that, they weren't actually propaganda, but they were like that, the very thick kind of poster paper that like you would, you know, glue to, be able to snag some pieces from that. And I might hodgepodge together a little artistic piece, but
just frame it and put
they did
it up
that. And it's just, it's almost my home turns 100 years old in like 7 years.
Aww.
So, happy centenarian to you. So it needed an update and it is getting every bit of that update.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Trying to think if there's anything.
Is there
else
an end date? There? Like, are you going to like?
Not today.
Okay. Or you have enough experience with this, so you're like, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm not going to.
It won't take a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's exciting.
Yes.
Because they'll want to get paid before a year from now. So sometime between not today and a year.
Excellent.
And I'll, like I say, I'll send a couple of pictures to Anna and you can follow us on the Cultural Hall at the Cultural Hall on Instagram. And you can see some photos of the destruction and reconstruction to see what's going on.
Was there a lot of kind of research of your home that was needed to make sure they didn't remove any vital studs? Because you said they took them all out and stuff.
No, the guy knows what he's doing.
All right, cool.
So he just was like, he took some spray paint and went, this wall,
this wall can go, this one has to stay.
Yep.
Yeah, cool.
So by and large, it is literally only two posts that had to stay, and they ripped out the everything
else.
Wow. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so, because I think it's exciting. I think it's really cool to see, depending on the neighborhood where your home is, you know, the homes, you know, look really similar.
Yeah.
And just to see when it's a neighborhood that is that old, where the homes exist that are 100 years old, I do think it's awesome that you can, on the outside, they can still resemble each other, and then the inside, everything's just personalized or new or updated, whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's cool.
Should be comfy.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So I think that is it. That and my life gets crazy busy with the Sundance Film Festival this weekend. So that's it.
Yeah.
Hoping to talk with, I know that I have an interview with the cinematographer of Believer. That's the big Dan Reynolds, Tyler Glenn from Neon Trees documentary that will undoubtedly speak about the church that opens this weekend.
Is that the
already
guy from
sold
Philadelphia?
To HBO. Argott.
Yep.
Don Argott.
Yep.
Don Argott. who I don't think is Mormon.
I don't think so.
I think he just kind of came in with the idea and then went with it. Don Argott.
Don Argott.
What's new with you? You were at the youth conference.
Yeah, that's why I couldn't go to the funeral.
Yeah.
I was at youth conference.
You had a smile on your face like you loved it.
Oh, it wasn't that I didn't love it. It's that I missed my husband.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Combination of both. It's a little that I didn't love it, but I also...
I had a really good time.
Aspen Grove,
Aspen
right?
Aspen Grove, yeah.
Which is the church's
BYU's
cabin property?
BYU's property above Sundance up Provo Canyon. It's the same place where I took my WAD to the single-parent family camp that they had a couple years ago.
And the WAD's what you call your family online.
My kids, yeah. And it was nice. We all stayed in a lodge that, you know, resembles a dorm type of thing. And we don't have a huge youth group, but one thing that's of note is that we had on our schedule to have an activity of snowshoeing or cross-country skiing. I was really looking forward to it. Not enough snow.
Yeah.
So we did the ropes course instead. Also very enjoyable.
Cool.
Yeah, really cool.
Ropes course is like a little bit scary, above the ground kind of stuff?
Above the ground structure, there are posts that you have to get from post to post with, you know, it looks a lot scarier than it is or even feels once you're up there. But you're locked in to a wire and a harness, you know, and it's just one is round platforms that wobble and, you know, ropes hanging down from the top that you can use to balance yourself. And one is just like, you know, wooden platforms that may or may not slide when you step on them. And
how much did you get paid to go do that?
A ton.
So
a ton.
Much?
Yeah.
But I
slept on a bottom bunk bed.
Yeah?
Yeah, been a while. And I need to repent of all the times I asked my kids to do a better job of making their beds when they had bottom bunk beds.
No, it's impossible.
It's not easy.
No, it's impossible.
Yeah.
So. Making beds in general is stupid.
I make my bed every morning.
Yep, stupid.
Yep.
Because you know what? Guess where you're headed tonight? That
to
bed.
To that bed? Uh-huh. And guess what? Because it's made, I really want to climb into it more than
right?
I would if I hadn't made it.
I urge you to take the time that you would spend making your bed and maybe spend a minute or two extra in the scriptures. And,
I think you're right.
I have made a bed.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big thing my ex-wife would do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was like, I loved you dearly, but I will not do this.
Mm.
This is not a thing that I can
do. So now
do.
You have a bad association with it and you'll never do it?
Well, I never would do it. I never did it growing up.
Oh, yeah.
It's never been a thing for me.
Yeah.
Because I just go, sheets off the floor, I'm crawling back into that thing later.
Mm-hmm.
Now, occasionally, like I have to reset the sheet and reset the top comforter.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Other than that, nothing.
Can I give you a suggestion?
Yes, please.
No top sheet. Just get rid of it.
Yeah?
Yep. Just have
the comforter. I feel like that ruins the expensive comforter.
Nah. I would get a duvet cover for it if you want.
Okay.
But it's a hassle.
The top sheet?
Yeah.
But then what do you do with it? Because you get the fitted sheet and then you got the top sheet and then it seems wasteful.
Donate it to the kids going on trek.
Yeah,
use it
for something. You can't racially be sensitive and make a ghost costume out of your...
they'll make a... they'll make their aprons and whatnot, their handkerchiefs or whatever.
That's some, fine Egyptian cotton that they're going to be making.
Some scout somewhere is going to do their Eagle project and make the finest handkerchief necktie things in all the land with your top sheet that you donated. But also, I just feel like if you, it doesn't take very long to make your bed, and if everything else in my room is cluttered or needs to be worked on, then at least I feel like I want to sit on my bed, and that is a good feeling.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That is the difference between you and I.
That's the only
agree
one.
Agree to disagree.
The only one.
That is literally, just making a note, I want to call this episode Top Sheet.
Excellent.
Anything else new?
Yeah.
Do they do big testimony meeting at the end of the youth conference?
Nah. It was on award level.
Okay.
So we...
How many youth are we talking then? Not many.
No, maybe 20. I mean, not a lot.
Okay.
And a few couldn't make it, wrestling season, dance,
sure,
stuff like that. But, you know, we had... It was
the big 30th celebration of Monday Night Raw. Is that what you mean by wrestling season?
No? Probably.
Yeah.
what? We did a planning session, like, with the bishop, like, just for our combined activities for the year. Just kind of get that out of the way so it's not hanging over.
Are you doing Trek this year?
No.
Super activity?
Did it last year.
Okay.
Yeah. So
what's the big thing this summer?
Mm,
you just had a planning meeting. Don't shrug your shoulders.
I know. I maybe wasn't in there. No, I was late, though, because we had a dinner with... President Worthen?
Oh, yeah?
On Thursday night?
Of the BYU?
That's the one.
You got to?
Yeah.
How dare you?
I know.
How is he?
He's great.
I've met him once.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's nice.
I like him.
Future
apostle,
it
wasn't just us.
Oh, okay.
It was like a group of people.
How many?
A room full. I don't
like
know.
50 or
like
room
30.
Full? Like, okay. What'd you have?
BYU food.
Okay. Mint brownies?
No.
I will stab
How?
You if you got a chance
no.
at a mint brownie and
like,
didn't take it home.
Oh, my gosh. I totally would have. I don't know why BYU, like, bless them for their catering services. Don't serve pie. Don't serve like your little trifle pudding thing.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
on campus. Give me a mint brownie or five.
Yes.
I don't.
Or sixes.
Yeah.
I did that one night.
Yes, you did. I'm not interested. Like your pudding cup is beautiful. I don't care. Like you put the little shavings.
I
of
can't
the
wrap
chocolate
your pudding cup in a napkin in my pocket.
And put it in my purse and bring it up to youth conference. So anyway.
Did you have chicken cordon bleu?
No, it was a beef something.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wellington?
I don't know.
Stew? Was it a hearty
stew?
It
wasn't a stew.
Okay.
No. Used a knife and a fork. Anyway, but, we had a planning meeting, you know, service activity where we, like, the kids, like, assembled bikes
cool.
to donate to kids.
Yeah.
And just some activities and, like, fun games, and it was good. It was good to, I mean, these kids, for the most part, all go to the same school, you know, they see each other, but just to have them get up into the mountains and
cell
with
phones
each other.
Banned?
No.
So they could still be on it if they
yeah,
want.
But good luck getting reception
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah. That's great about Aspen
mm-hmm.
Grove, right?
Yeah.
So remote that it's like, oh, hold on, I'm going to wait. Forget it. I just stopped caring.
Yeah.
2 days? 3 days?
Thursday evening to Saturday morning.
Cool.
Yeah.
What a great opportunity.
It was really good. And then the other thing is that my husband, the Reverend John Dye,
uh-huh,
and
heard
I,
of him.
On Saturday evening, attended a wedding reception.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Of our very own Connor.
Our very own Connor.
One of the writers here for the Cultural Hall. He's been on one episode that we recorded like in a remote place of Provo, right?
Yeah, he toured the Provo City Center Temple for the open house. And he's quite a talented writer, and he's a smart dude. He's really kind and just good stuff. You know, he got married in the Seattle Temple in December, I believe.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know he got married, but it wasn't, so I don't know Connor super well. In fact, of all the people that work on the Cultural Hall, Connor is probably the one I know the least, because
mm-hmm.
mostly it's a conglomerate of people that I know from various avenues of my life.
Right, but he kind of was like, hey, can I do this too? Right?
Yeah, I think Matthew Jalalian kind of said, hey, Connor was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, the love life of Connor that I'm aware of is that he was like, yeah, I'm not going to be married.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not going to really do this. And then he went away to, like, London, right?
Yep.
And then the next thing, I swear, and I know it wasn't like this for him, but I swear the
it
next thing
been.
Was like, hey, so I'm getting married because she's great and we love each other and boom.
Mm-hmm.
And then the only other thing I know about their love life is they like pizza.
Oh, do they ever like pizza?
The Little Caesars especially.
Oh, yes, they do.
Yeah.
That was at the reception.
We should get Anna to post that picture too. I thought that was fun at the Cultural Hall on Instagram, or you're welcome to. Obviously, you
sure.
do stuff for us as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So nice ceremony?
Lovely. Oh, it was a reception.
Reception,
I mean? Yeah, it was at a... At a church in Springville.
LDS Chapel. Mm-hmm. I could tell because it had the accordion door mm-hmm. in the background. You can't hide the accordion door. You can hide a lot of things about the cultural hall.
Yeah.
You can't hide the accordion door.
Yeah. But it was nice. It was, they served Little Caesar's Pizza and root beer and nice. Brownies.
Homemade root beer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was delicious.
Yes. So much sugar in a homemade
uh-huh.
root beer.
Uh-huh.
And BYU brownies?
I don't know if they were, but I think they were, and then we got there too late for the mint, and John was like, do you want...
And you're like, no?
Yeah, exactly.
How about a trifle? How about a pudding?
He's like, do you want... It's got walnuts, and I'm like, no, I don't. And then I went and grabbed one anyway.
What, am I a heathen?
Yeah. Like, have we met?
You slap it out of his hand. I don't want your nuts, and everyone looks around and goes, what is going on over there?
Yeah. No, go up to campus and get me a mint brownie. Proper mint brownie.
You turn yourself right around.
Yeah, but it was very nice. Spent the majority of the time talking with Connor's bride's uncle.
Connor's bride's uncle, okay.
Mm-hmm, from Southern Utah, Uncle Bill.
Oh, yeah? What part of Southern Utah is he from? Is that a story?
The St. George.
Okay, so normal part of Southern Utah.
Right, right. But it was nice. And look forward to knowing Connor's wife more. If you haven't read his love story, he kind of spelled it out in a post. It was really, because exactly like you, you're like, oh, I thought that Connor's love life was that I'm never getting married, et cetera, et cetera. And then all of a sudden, back from London, I'm in love and I don't care who knows it. And
Help me. I'll write that note. I want to share that blog post so people can see what we're talking about.
He's such a great writer. So I encourage people to read that. And it was very nice. And like my husband, the Reverend John Dye, and myself.
I like him. Is that
Connor,
what you wanted me to do?
Connor and his wife met on Twitter.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes, they did.
All right, let's take a break for a second. We'll come back in the second half and do actual articles of news.
The Cultural Hall wants you to help Utah Food Bank fight hunger statewide. Through your donations of food, time, or money, Utah Food Bank is able to distribute over 31 million meals annually to Utahns facing hunger. Even a $1 donation can be turned into $7.35 of goods and services. 1 in 5 children in Utah could go to bed hungry tonight, and 423,000 Utahns are unsure where their next meal will come from. By donating food at your local pantry or by visiting utahfoodbank.org, you can make a difference.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Hi friends, Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. I get a lot of emails from people all the time. Here's one. Dear Dan, I hear your talk about a lifetime service guarantee. Free? Really? Please help me avoid all your fine print and be honest about what free means. You understand that we should be very wary of a free offer? Signed, Skeptical. Hi, Skeptical. I remember 22 years ago when we started PC Laptops and our lifetime service guarantee, people thought it was too good to be true. Well, you know, after a decade, people started believing me a little bit. But you know, it's been 22 years of having the privilege to serve our friends and neighbors like you. Our lifetime service guarantee has become the most trusted warranty in the industry. You can get a brand new PC Laptops desktop computer for $799 with a lifetime warranty. Check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. Here's to seeing you soon, Skeptical.
Time for the second half of Articles of News, wherein we do actual Articles of News. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose Articles of News.
I have an email. I just got to pull it up here real quick.
Love to hear it.
This one from Nancy. You know, if it's not from Kevin, it's from Nancy, and I appreciate it. Contact at theculturalhall.com, or you can go to the Contact Us tab at theculturalhall.com. Nancy says, I will tell you, she says, Dear Cultural Hall Show, so first of all, I
Thank
already
you,
like her.
Thank Nancy. You, Nancy.
She says, I will tell you what I really like about our current U.S. President, Donald Trump. She says, it is that he openly declares God and declares this nation to be a Christian nation. She says, I totally love that. President Obama, however good of a president he may have ever been in other ways, declared this not to be a Christian nation. President Trump gave a beautiful Merry Christmas speech to America, which is on YouTube, speaking of God and this being a Christian nation. What a wonderful thing for him to do as a president of this wonderful nation. Of course, Satan hates that. Love you all at the Cultural Hall, Nancy Bauer. And I will say this, as a Christian person, President Trump's Christmas address was very nice.
Yeah, we hadn't heard a president of the United States say Merry Christmas since President Barack Hussein Obama did it the year before. Yeah. Amazing. Thanks.
Are you a little jaded?
No, not a bit.
No, I mean, I don't know that I feel that it's terribly sincere.
Yeah.
From President Trump. But I, you know, who am I to question someone's sincerity or not?
Yep.
I guess I can have my own opinion or whatever. But yeah, it's the same thing. So this is interesting.
I'm interested in President Obama not did she say he declared it not a Christian nation or
yeah, and I'm
didn't?
Sure, and I'm sure that that's just some sort of article that came through Facebook that may or may not be true. And so to me, I don't even venture down the...
I know. I just want to point out that I'm sure it wasn't. It was that we are Christians and more. It was more inclusive than to suggest that we're not Christians.
If you are not Christian, you are not a part of this nation. But there was a comment. So Anna, I believe, shared a picture of the new first presidency, which we'll talk about here in a second
on Instagram. Okay.
And
as we all go to our devices to check.
So now I'm going. It's at theculturalhall.com. And, you know, we share it says President Russell M. Nelson with Dallin Oaks as first counselor, Elder Henry B. Eyring as second counselor. And then Janine Oakey says, we will lose LGBT lives over this. This is awful. Nelson and Oaks together. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting thing to have that immediate response.
Yeah.
And I try and keep myself from having that immediate response to anything, including President Trump. I try and give each action, you know, the opportunity for me to understand, first of all, what's even being discussed, and second of all, you know, what is being put forward, and then third of all, if it's actually doing anything, right? Like President Trump and the Jerusalem thing, right? Everyone like, this is going to cause so much war, and this is going to be so terrible, and recognizing Jerusalem as the capital instead of Tel Aviv, and putting our embassy there. And it seemed like from the one side that it was going to be like, oh, yeah, this is going to be terrible. And while people didn't like it, and maybe I'm naive to it, it seems like it was just like, and the U.S. recognizes Jerusalem. And people are like, we're so pissed. And then it was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, well, you know, he's doing something different, right? Like, I try and give a benefit of the doubt. But I try when with someone new, like President Nelson, like First Counselor Oaks, Second Counselor Eyring, like I try and let him have a day before I try and be critical. The interesting thing about that, Janine is my cousin.
Really?
Yeah, a little disaffected, certainly.
Yeah.
You know, but that's neither here nor there. But I just feel like give somebody a chance in all situations before you're like, well, this is going to be terrible. Well, you're probably not going to see it if it's great if you already think it's going to be terrible, even if it is great, or even if it is terrible. Like, you are setting yourself up through the lens to look at a thing as this will be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That's a little diatribe for me.
Yeah. No, I mean, because we've all heard their messages on different kind of issues of the day over the years. And I listened with great interest this morning.
To the press conference?
Yeah. In the car driving. Oh, that's the other thing I didn't mention. I'm going back to school.
Well, yay. Yeah. Had to take a break for a while. Family stuff and getting married and all the things. But now you're going back.
Yep. And I'm in class with my daughter. What?
How does she like that?
She. I asked her before. We did it on purpose and she likes it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you think she really likes it, or do you think she mom likes it?
I think she really likes it. Yeah.
Because I would love to go to a class with my dad. That would be the funnest thing in the world for me.
Yeah.
But I don't know that. Yeah. I guess it would depend on the class, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Spanish.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Anyway.
Like, it's human sexuality. I'd be like, Dad, this is uncomfortable. One of us is going to have to get out of here.
But I listened with great interest because when, not the first hour at 9 local time.
When they announced the first presidency, when they announced the first presidency and the counselors, like, that was just like a, here's the announcement, here you can hear from them, and that's it. But then the second hour was the, now we'll take your question.
Right, the press conference, the proper press conference, when they were asking questions, the very first question that was asked was, you know, let's talk about this issue, this LGBT, and the immediate response was, we are all children of God.
Right.
So where I can see where Janine and others are coming from, I think we also need to acknowledge and allow for, you know, this, that was their first response. And let's keep
going. If they act accordingly.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that we're all children of God and we love everyone, then great.
Yep.
And if they don't, then I think we can say, all right, President Nelson, I'm having a hard time with this because of this.
Right, right.
Because before he wasn't the president.
Right. So I get where Janine is coming from. I get where you're coming from.
Yeah.
And we'll see.
Peggy Fletcher Stackax asked about the women in the church. Did you hear that question?
I did. And
what did you think of
I
that?
Listened to it a couple of times, actually. So Peggy Fletcher Stack, writer
from the Salt Lake Tribune,
she approached the microphone and she mentioned that equality is something that has been addressed in a couple of different ways during President Monson's tenure as president of the church. She referenced the lowering of the missionary age, not only for the men, but also for the women to more closely match the men going out on missions. She also referenced the councils upon which women sit now. And so she asked, you know, what does it kind of look like moving forward with these equality rights?
Mm-hmm.
And motions or policies, whatever. I say whatever, not in the blow it off, whatever.
Yeah, but in the whatever.
That whole realm. And I just thought the initial response was very interesting. It was just like this, which he kind of did with a lot of people. Peggy, I know you. I know your mom. I know your dad. I know all your grandparents. And just kind of this, you know, familiarity thing. And then he joked that he didn't remember what her question was. And then he talked a lot about why... Because what she said specifically is, you know, with the steps forward, with this move toward equality, can we talk about the fact that the leaders of the church are still old white American men?
Mm-hmm.
And his response was that leadership looks like the place it represents. He talked about how local leaders represent where they are locally, and that the Quorum of the 12 happens to be exactly as she described, but look at the quorums of the 70,
right.
which have some inclusion of more international
tons more
people.
I
yeah.
mean, how many times are we at General Conference where it's Maris Gonzalez, and you're like, I'm sure that's not how that name is pronounced. I appreciate it, Elder Uchtdorf, but that's not right.
Right.
You know, German reading Spanish, it's like, all right, for
he
the next
a,
5 minutes.
He does a boop, great boop, job. Boop. Yeah. Yes, right. So so he talked a lot about just kind of this, like, you know, it's in God's hands, and the people who are called are called. And how did he say something like the real leadership? I think he even said those words, something like the real leaders are at the ground level.
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally paraphrasing, but
sure.
As far as ground level stuff, but that those leaders who are out there in the field with their own immediate congregants are of the people. I mean, right. They are, you know, they're representative. So and then they kind of, you know, they talked about that a lot, about being men, about being of God, being called of God, and being, you know, doing what God wants. And then it kind of had the press conference had this almost like, well, next question thing. And then she called out away from the mic, what about women?
Right.
And
don't feel like he answered it very well.
No, I don't. I feel like he said, I love women, which...
isn't enough.
No, thank you. Like, that's nice. And this kind of like, I have 9 daughters. Okay, well, you don't have to be a father of daughters to honor women and be an advocate for women. I appreciate it, and I'm sure that he does love women, and that he does love his daughters. And but no, the question was not addressed.
Did he also sing Fathers Be Good to Your Daughters?
He did.
Daughters will love
like you do, is what he counseled.
You know why?
Girls become mothers.
Uh-huh.
Wait,
yep.
Lovers. that turn into mothers.
No, I think it's mothers who turn into lovers.
Isn't it lovers that turn into mothers?
They'll become lovers that turn into mothers. Yeah,
so
you're
mothers
right. Lovers
good.
To mothers.
Yeah, so mothers be good to your daughters,
oh
too.
Oh, my gosh, wow.
I mean, it was a really stirring sermon.
Yep. I mean, the way, and he started to sway, which was awesome.
That's fine.
Just mm-hmm. back and forth.
Uh-huh.
All right. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that all falls out. Now, Elder Oaks, so I was talking with the Mormon News Report. By the way, if you don't listen to the Mormon News Report, it's another podcast available through the Cultural Hall umbrella. You can find it on the feed. In fact, if you subscribe to this feed, you already get it already, so check it out. It comes out every Monday.
Hi,
Brian
Brent.
And Brant.
Also, happy birthday last Friday, Brant.
Hey, happy birthday.
Also, leave them an iTunes review, too.
Yeah, leave us an iTunes review,
I'm
too.
I'm just saying, yeah.
Okay.
They asked for it specifically.
Well, I'm asking
week.
For it specifically, too.
Amazing. They have a goal.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Get to 20 so they'll shut up about it. He and I were speaking this morning before the press conference, and I said, one of the two first presidency is out, without question.
Didn't you say it would be Bednar?
Well, so I sort of said, yeah, I think that it would be Bednar would be the one that would be in that would, you know, take the place of Elder Uchtdorf or Elder Eyring.
Mm-hmm.
But I said without question that it would not be the same first presidency.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense. And
right,
here's
because
why.
Because Brant was saying no change.
Yeah, he
that
said no
prediction.
Change. My perspective was change and it would be Bednar. But if I would have thought another step further, Elder Oaks has never been in the presidency before.
Mm-hmm.
He's up to do it next if Elder Nelson passes away.
Right.
And so he needs to know.
You're right.
He's 7 years younger.
Mm-hmm.
So feasibly, unless, you know, I mean, at the point that Elder Nelson serves 7 more years,
that's,
you know, that makes him 100,
yeah.
Which would be awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, so he's going to be the president feasibly.
Mm-hmm.
So in that event, he needs to know what it means, needs to know what it does.
Right.
And he and Elder Nelson called to the apostleship the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I postured, and people are like, "Ooh, I don't know that I would do that." And I'm like, "No. Have you served in a calling before with someone where you're like, this is not my favorite pick of person, but we're called to serve?"
Mm-hmm.
And then have you also been in a position where you feel prompted to call someone and they also happen to be your friend and you're able to function that way? And I think that that's what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, in addition to him being able to lead the church, in addition to inspired, you know, I think that God can work through that friendship for the inspiration and just be like, yeah, now it's Elder Oaks and Elder Nelson, mm-hmm. two buddies that were called in 1984. And
yep.
and that will be what it'll be.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, but Uchtdorf, and he's not going to, Elder Uchtdorf, and so many people loved him, and now it's an all-white, you know, man from Utah.
Right.
First presidency.
But to be clear, Elder Uchtdorf did soften it with his farewell fireside on Sunday.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It can be both. It can be mm-hmm. that they're friends.
Yes.
It can be that he needed the experience, and it can also be inspiration.
Yeah, I agree. I hadn't thought about it till after the call, obviously, because other than that, it's just pure speculation.
Sure.
But I thought that President Eyring would stay in, but I thought it would be Elder Bednar instead of President Oaks.
Oh, instead of President Oaks.
Yeah, because I thought President Oaks would remain as then the
President of the 12.
Of the 12, and now, of course, Elder Ballard is acting President of the 12, as Elder Christofferson explained at the beginning of the press conference, which was very helpful.
Yeah, because people go, huh? Who? Huh?
Right, right. Yeah, but...
And then it opens up... I also thought maybe, too, we'd see the new two called.
No, but that doesn't happen until conference. Like,
right.
Like, that is
well, it
standard.
Could've.
Well, yeah,
it
exactly.
Could've, because
it could have.
It wouldn't have mattered if they had announced it now or announced it at a conference, because we still don't sustain them until conference.
Right.
So they very well could have, but I thought, you know, maybe.
Mm-hmm. And, well, this kind of gets into one of the articles I have, but someone can be called to the first presidency without having been one of the 12.
Yeah, President Hinckley was in the presidency before he was like the executive assistant or third counselor or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Without having been called to serve in the 12.
Interesting.
I think.
I think you're right.
I may also be wrong.
I will check my article.
Sure.
But yes. So yeah, it is really interesting. You didn't go to the, I mean, it was like for
press
YSA's.
Conference. No, I would. Oh, no, I watched Elder Uchtdorf's talk.
Yeah, we watched it too.
I didn't get to watch, I forgot about it late.
Oh, got it.
And so I tuned in for Elder Uchtdorf's. It was great. What a great talk.
I want Harriet to speak at all the things all the time.
Who I missed. And that,
oh,
I need to go
gosh.
Back and see what her talk was all about. But the one takeaway for me, Elder Uchtdorf talked about Steve Jobs and the dots.
Yes.
You can connect the dots in your past, but you can't connect the dots thoughts in the future, mm-hmm. that being like the different points at which life took different ways and then got to you to be where you're at. Mm-hmm. You can look back and see that, but you can't see that looking forward. So the best thing is, you know, just be righteous, live good, and and then, you know, God will bless you, and the points you'll be able to look back on and go, oh, that's why that.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Right. And I should say, for those who don't know, what happened on Sunday was that there was the special fireside with Elder Uchtdorf and Sister Uchtdorf, and they for locals here who attended the conference center, for which that event, it was packed. My daughter and her friends went. She actually sent me some pictures. She shook his hand. There's like a video of her shaking his hand. She's like, I'm never going to wash my hand again. but they opened up the conference center and they turned on the lights on Temple Square from like 3 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Really?
Yes. For people to find their eternal
treats,
companions.
They had refreshments?
They had brownies. I know. And but yeah.
Opened
it was
up
really
the tabernacle
cool.
too. Wasn't it overflow into the tabernacle?
I think
say?
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
huge.
Yeah. Really cool experience.
I want to know how many gallons of hot chocolate and how many brownies.
Someone has those numbers.
Yep. Know it.
Sister Uchtdorf was adorable.
What'd she talk about?
Well, the thing that I remember the very most was, and I mean, I had my kids around with me, and so it kind of, we're a little bit of a distraction, as sometimes happens with kids are around.
Sure.
little joke there.
See, because what's happening is
right now is that my daughter is right next to me and
she's
wants to talk to me.
She's writing a note, though. She's being very respectful in the way that she's writing a note and not talking out loud.
Right. And I gave her a pen and a paper. Anyway, was that... Sister Uchtdorf just said, you know, I'm very excited to be here with my favorite apostle.
Yeah.
And everyone started laughing. And she goes, I know we're not supposed to have favorites.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny.
She said, but I think I can in this case because I'm married to him. But she said, you know, whether you're single or divorced or, you know, whatever the case is, her message was was in line with Elder Uchtdorf's, which is to trust in God, trust his path for you, trust what he has in store for you. And I really do think that, you know, I mean, I'm glad and they have these kind of firesides a lot with the face-to-faces and everything, but I think it was good to have her refer to him as an apostle.
Sure.
And to have him, you know, he's been insisting that he be referred to as Elder Uchtdorf, because once the prophet passes away, that is technically where they fall back into.
Right.
So anyway, it's been an interesting couple of weeks.
For sure. Let me dive into some other news real quick here, just that I thought was kind of interesting. Joseph Young and Claudia Nell, I'm not sure if you know who these folks are, but they're both 90 years old and they just got married.
Oh, yeah. I know about these two.
Do you know them personally?
No,
or you
but
just know about them?
No, I know about them, but I do have Facebook friends who, one person who she said a long time ago, she goes, this guy from my aerobics class is getting married. He's 90. And then a different friend was like, oh my gosh, my grandma or somebody like I've want, you know, or not my grandma, obviously, my aunt, for my mom's aunt for so long, we've been waiting for her to get married. It turns out that's who they are.
It is the cutest story ever. They are 90 years old, married in the Provo Temple, been friends since junior high. So for her, that let's see, we've been friends since junior high. That's 71 years ago. Let's see. It was beautiful, but Claudia forgot the rings in her purse.
Classic Claudia.
Right? That's so Claudia, it's unreal. The temple president, Don Livingstone, who's the Provo, Utah temple president, who performed the marriage, he told them to love each other, love Jesus, and follow the prophet. And they are affectionate, loving, and even romantic, said the nephew-in-law who just turned 70. Just teasing, that doesn't say that here. Claudia said, I've dated a lot, but I wasn't that serious. She said she wasn't necessarily put off by not being married, nor was she out hunting for a husband. She's had a wonderful, full life, and her nieces and nephews and their children have been her family. So Claudia had never been married.
Correct.
She continued her life so far, seen her teaching in Utah, working with leaders of Congress in Washington, D.C. Joseph, her husband, a descendant of several famous architects, including Don Carlos and Joseph Don Carlos Smith, his father and grandfather. He became an architect as well, worked on lots of projects for the church. He even designed the late President Thomas S. Monson's home on Carter Circle. Joseph and Frances is Joseph's first wife, wanted to reconnect with Claudia as time and health issues went on. That would not be. Frances fell ill and passed away, and Joseph still felt the need to connect with Claudia.
Mm.
So much so that they got married. And Claudia says, it's nice to be young at this stage of my life. And I love him. So what a sweet, cute story about two people finding love in the later part of their life. See? And they got it. You just hang tight. You keep pushing on.
I think it's awesome. It's really, really sweet. Congratulations to those two.
Man, I got so many stories. I'm going to have to do another episode this week, I think. Senator Hatch, we had mentioned this before. He's going to retire. Mitt Romney will most likely run and take his place. It's saying he did a big speech here today in Utah for the Salt Lake Chamber and was talking about the economy and talking about, just being very much Mitt Romney, and everyone loves him. And here's the thing. If Mitt Romney runs for the Senate here in the state of Utah, others need not apply.
Yeah.
because it's just, I love that. Let's retweet that and okay. We can talk about that real quick. If you follow the Cultural Hall on Twitter, there's a great video that Jenny retweeted. You should check it out. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just on a 3-second loop, and it's just watch Senator Orrin Hatch removes a pair of glasses he's not wearing.
Yeah, so Senator Orrin Hatch is kind of old. You see him go through the motions of taking glasses off his head. Not particularly a Mormon thing, but he being Mormon makes it a Mormon thing.
Sure, yeah. So Mitt Romney, you're in, right?
Yeah, he's got it.
Yeah.
I mean, his wife, so the reason why Mitt Romney not running for president again in 2016, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was because Ann, his wife, said, you know what, I'm over it. I don't really want you to do it.
She was ill,
yeah,
right?
She's got the MS.
Right, okay.
So she's still ill.
Yeah.
But I think being a senator is a little easier than being the president of the free world.
Probably.
Plus there's sort of a need for it, and I think that both Ann and Mitt sort of see it.
Yeah.
Mitt's making all the motions that he's going to be, try and be the senator from the state of Utah. Phone calls being made on behalf and from president, being that he's my stake president.
Mm.
No, I'm just joking. Mitt Romney. So he's in.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like Trump, and that's okay. Some competitive within the same party is fine, everyone.
Yeah.
I don't know that I want to share this story right now, so we'll save that. You might be able to speak a little bit more about this. We hadn't talked about it, but the buy a goat from a vending machine.
Yeah.
Over $500,000 donated to charity from that thing that the Reverend John Dye, along with others in the LDS Church, did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Get it. Get in there.
Hashtag the Reverend John Dye.
That, there you go. I didn't know you had a son until today.
Just now.
Until just now when he started speaking.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name?
What's your name again?
Quinn.
Quinn.
Now you know it. Now you know.
Now you know it.
And now you know.
Yeah, use the hashtag the Reverend John Dye.
Amazing.
Whenever you talk about him, will you please do that?
You bet. You
Done.
Bet. I sure will. Yeah, those vending machines, great idea, right?
Yes. I think so. $500,000, great.
Yeah, the items that are, of course, getting the most attention have gotten the most attention. And for the record, those vending machines not up anymore. They were up for the Christmas season,
right.
Not there anymore. It was a light the world, hashtag light the world. Initiative, part of it, and the ones that got the most attention, the goats, the chickens, the kind of like what?
Mm-hmm.
Those I believe were through care.org, which if you still want to donate a chicken to a family,
yeah, but it's not as cool if I'm not doing it through a vending machine.
I know. I'm just saying you still can.
Yeah, but it's not as cool.
I know.
I know you're just saying, but it's not as cool.
Yeah, but it was a super super cool thing to. Did you go down there? Did you buy?
No, I didn't want to wait in line. Line was too long.
Got it.
Took too long to move people. Through the lines.
Yeah.
Aww, yeah. I was talking to the Reverend John Dye about that. He said, yeah, these machines were built to do like 20 transactions a day, and they were doing like 200 transactions an hour. So like things started breaking down and had to be, you know, restocked and all this stuff. And he's just like, it was great, but man, what a chore.
Yeah. I got to restock the machines a couple times. Yeah. And it was...
did you put extra goats in there?
Sure did.
Man. Waiting for the goat to drop.
Because
I keep waiting. Waiting for the goat. To drop.
But
Ten years ago today, Elder Archuleta on American Idol.
I know.
Man, he's so flat in that first note of his audition video for American Idol.
I know.
Terrible. And he forgets the words. I didn't realize that.
That poor
his
kid.
First audition, David Archuleta for American Idol, forgets the words and is so flat in that first note.
Man, I like that kid, though.
Yeah.
He's good stuff.
You, of course.
No, he is.
Because you get to meet him, and he's all sweet and gentle and soft-hearted.
I asked him at the YouTube Light the World concert. I was like, hey, how old a guy are you? And he's like, how old do you think I am? And I'm like, well, I think you're 16, because when I first knew who you were...
Yeah, you were 16.
You were 16. He's like, I'm 26.
Nice.
I'm like, great.
Perfect.
Amazing.
Great. What have you got, story-wise?
I've got just kind of more details. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say that I think everyone understands. We've kind of covered, it's out there, about what happens when the prophet passes away, mm-hmm. you know, return to the council's return. But one thing I want to mention, today's change in the first presidency was monumental in church history. It marks a change that has not occurred in almost five decades. In short, a standing member of the first presidency in good health has not been retained as a counselor. Hmm. And the last time that happened was 1970. Do you know the circumstances?
No.
Okay. It was Hugh B. Brown.
Okay.
And let me see if I can get this right. He was at the end of David O. McKay's presidency.
Okay.
He had been President McKay's second counselor.
Okay.
Then at some point he was made first counselor. Then when President McKay passed away, Joseph Fielding Smith had kept the second counselors and Eldon Tanner, but instead of having Hugh B. Brown
be the first counselor?
Yeah, be the first. It was Harold B. Lee.
Really? So
yes.
He came in to be the next... Well, yeah, because he came in to be the next prophet.
Yep. And what history says is that that is because Hugh B. Brown did not like that not every male could hold the priesthood.
Oh, really? So there was a little bit of...
He was
a little bit outspoken as far as that
He was ahead of his time that way, but that's why, because there was a big clash there.
Interesting.
Isn't it?
Isn't it, though?
Yeah. So the other time that it has happened refers to, like, the in good health thing. It happened to Marion G. Romney, but the change was probably due to health-related issues.
Hmm.
Like, he just wasn't well enough. So, and then this article, it's from Mormon Life Hacker. We can share it at theculturalhall.com. It's just more about which counselors weren't retained. But there have been, like I alluded to before, there have been members of the first presidency called who have not been apostles. For instance, J. Reuben Clark was not an apostle when he became second counselor in the first presidency on April 6, 1933. But a year and a half later, he was ordained as an apostle and became a member of the Quorum of the Twelve.
Hmm.
So just really, I mean, just because I look at the conversations that people have had and, you know, is there speculation? Sure. Is there order to the church? Absolutely.
Right.
Order to the leadership? Yes. Did we all kind of know that President Nelson would become the prophet?
Yeah.
Yes. But is there a chance?
Yeah.
I mean, that hasn't happened, that he wouldn't be the prophet. But I mean, it isn't President Eyring and President Uchtdorf anymore. So
Right. Anyway,
just interesting how that all happens.
I got a quick thing, a few things I'm going to blow through real quick.
Okay.
You remember Roy Moore? He was running for the Senate down in Alabama because Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, mm-hmm. vacated the spot. Roy Moore was accused of several things.
Yes.
During the race, he said, or no, his wife said, yeah, you know, we're not racist. We have a Jewish, we have a Jewish lawyer. Turns out their Jewish lawyer, not Jewish, but once upon a time was Mormon.
Amazing.
There. Interesting tidbit of information. I've got some of those stories that are like that. The Sundance documentary, which I alluded to earlier, it is in fact been picked up by HBO, so you will have an opportunity
awesome.
To see it. It's called Believer.
Yes.
And it'll be interesting to see how the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is painted within that film. Folks like Dan Reynolds, lead singer of Imagine Dragons, Tyler Glenn, lead singer of Neon Trees, and various other folks. It's called Believer, and look for that to be one of the bigger local standouts from the Sundance Film Festival, which begins this weekend. Steven Seagal.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see this story?
I did.
Regina Simons, who worked as an extra on the film On Deadly Ground, becomes the latest woman to allege sexual misconduct against a Hollywood star. She says, I was completely caught off guard. Tears were coming down my face, said Regina, of her encounter with Steven Seagal. The actor and producer Steven Seagal has been accused of rape by an extra who worked... Regina Simons, who was 18 when shooting the film, told The Wrap, that's this news article, that Seagal assaulted her after he invited her to a party at his house. She discovered that no one else was there, and she says she froze when Seagal began to... Okay. I think because of the situation, I was completely caught off guard. Tears were coming down my face, and I know that it hurt, and he was three times my size. Big guy, Steven Seagal. Simons, who's a Mormon. Mm, and I think that this is interesting. And I think I hope that we're not where we were in 1993 as far as a culture goes. She says she confided in a bishop but decided not to come forward at the time due to the stigma that would be attached to the incident in the Mormon community.
Mm-hmm.
But she ended up reporting it a month ago. Steven Seagal was also accused of harassment by Portia de Rossi, who people would know as either Ellen DeGeneres' wife or from Arrested Development, the mm-hmm. sister.
Lindsay.
What's that?
Lindsay.
Is that her name?
Lindsay yeah. Bluth Funke.
Mm-hmm. Simons is allegation. Anyway, so she was Mormon.
Got it.
Kind of a quick, interesting thing.
Yeah.
People that were really upset, almost 200,000 people strong, upset about the obituary about President Thomas S. Monson mm-hmm. in the New York Times. It's the New York Times. That's my feeling on it.
Mm-hmm.
I read a lot of people being upset. The New York Times said, yeah, I mean, we could have,
yep.
we probably could have written a little bit nicer about his character, but we didn't.
Yep.
We're not going to rewrite it.
Yep.
And I don't think that the obituary in the New York Times defines our prophet.
I don't think so either.
So I think it's interesting that they wrote about it again, and I think that speaks to some of the strength of the church
yeah.
and those people who wrote about it. But uh-huh. you know what? They're not going to go back.
Nope.
And nor should they. I mean, they wrote it from the perspective that they wrote it from.
Yeah, for their own voice. And I mean, they're not going to bury the lead with, you know, what they have to.
He was a nice gentleman is not what you're going to get from the New York Times.
Right.
So mm-hmm. for the people that get hurt by that, I feel bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, they did come out and say, yeah, we could have maybe been nicer. I think that's the win is that they go,
yes.
oh, okay.
Like, okay.
You know, yeah, we could have been nicer.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you a question. Does yes. Elder Uchtdorf have U.S. citizenship?
Oh, he would have to.
Okay.
Wouldn't he?
I don't know.
I think he would have to.
Okay.
I don't know. What a fascinating question.
I just, like, I just hear a lot about, you know, just how it's old white American men. And I'm like, but we got the German. Is he?
But there's a German.
Well, and I'm wondering, I don't know.
Yeah, cue speculation of a browner gentleman at this next general conference, right?
Well, yeah, that last time when we got three, and I think I was live tweeting that session, I said, sorry that we're, you know, welcome new apostles. Sorry yeah. we're so sorry everyone's so mad that you're white yeah. and American.
Yeah.
But
it's possible completely.
Yeah, it is.
But so put in perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for people who get sort of down on that, let's just look at it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to call someone who's an apostle who is 50.
Right.
Right? They right. don't do that anymore.
Right.
I think Elder Bednar was maybe 59 or 60, right?
He's the young one, right?
And he's the young one. He's mm-hmm. the baby in the whole group. And mm-hmm. that was several years ago now. So they could call someone who's 60 again.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone is 60,
mm-hmm.
he would have had to have been born outside of the United States within the church.
Mm-hmm.
In the mid-50s. Tell me a country outside the United States that would have a really strong, you know, that person could come up really knowing the church.
Mexico.
In the 1950s, okay? Mexico is a great example.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Canada, maybe?
Sure.
Maybe some parts of, maybe Australia?
Pacific Islands.
Yeah, the Pacific Islands would be a great one.
Mm-hmm.
But there aren't a lot of places. So
right.
if you're looking at a place where someone is going to come up through, and you hate to say rank and file, but, you know the church their whole life. If they're not going to have convert of,
right.
you know, like the Japanese 70 of a few years ago that passed
right.
away. He was a convert.
Well, isn't it true that President Nelson wasn't baptized till he was 16?
Right. So, but I mean, that's 1940.
I know. I'm just saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you have someone like that.
Sure.
So in order for this to be someone like that,
yeah.
we're 20 years off from someone like that, unless it's someone from one
not.
Of those countries now.
I hope we're closer.
Mexico. Canada, maybe a couple of the European countries, a Pacific Islander. I think that would be, except I don't think that there's many Pacific Islanders in the quorums of 70 now, but I think you would very much see someone from whatever the name of that place is that the Romneys essentially established down in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my best bet. You're
yeah.
going to see, you know, someone from the land that they, when they fled Utah and went to Mexico because that's where polygamy was okay, someone who came through the church there. And so they'll be sort of Mexican.
Right. Like President Eyring.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Elder Eyring, sort of Mexican?
His dad was born a Mexican citizen.
Okay,
yeah.
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so someone like that, only
That's
a little browner.
Kind of Mexican.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of.
I don't know.
Is it racist?
Happy birthday, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah. Is it his birthday
it
today?
It is, yeah. I don't think he'll be called, but...
No. But if you ever want to feel bad about yourself, think about how you and Lin-Manuel Miranda are the same age, because that's how
old
I am.
How old do you think he is?
He's 37.
He's 38, yeah.
Oh, 38. So he and I were essentially the same age.
Yeah.
Yeah, I look at what he's done and what I've done, and I go, oh, okay, so that sucks.
Yeah.
Other interesting stories. Coach Neil Matarazzo.
Oh, yes. Have you met him,
Navy?
Everyone? Met the Mormon?
In the movie. Did you have this story?
No.
He offered the job at the University of Arizona.
Yes.
Then he didn't come into work for a couple of days, and people were like, is he gone? Is he not coming back? Nope. He'll be back at Navy.
Yep.
Back at the Naval Academy. And he's good. He's a great coach, doing amazing things for the Naval football program. So that's interesting. That one we obviously already know, because that story says that a new person would be called today. An interesting thing about the mission calls, 1,150 mission calls with not a prophet signed, but signed by the president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles,
yes.
President Nelson. That was kind of interesting. That's something that only occurred because there wasn't an active prophet at the time. So the letter from the church when you were being called on a mission was different.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of an interesting thing.
We had our ward conference on Sunday, and so the sustaining went like this. Like kind of that they do at the end after they read all the names, they say all church officers, instead of saying, we sustain Thomas S. Monson as prophecy. It was just like all the church officers as they are.
Yeah.
And that was the sustaining vote.
Interesting.
Yeah, because it hadn't happened yet.
Yeah. No speculation. He didn't throw it out there like, hey, we're thinking maybe that.
Yeah, nope.
Yeah, so that's kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah,
do we want to end on a funny story?
Probably.
All right, let me pack up these other stories and we're here. Did you have anything else that you wanted to hit on?
I don't think so.
We'll probably do another episode of Articles of News this week, just because there's enough to cover and touch on for people that look forward to that. But a federal judge threw out evidence of methamphetamine that was seized during a traffic stop on I-15 because the trooper found suspicious, among other things, the fact that the driver was playing Mormon music. So Chief U.S.
Like
District Judge...
Mormon rap?
The Mormon rap? Ruled Wednesday to throw out the evidence seized. The case is being prosecuted in federal court in Idaho. Trooper Peoples pulled the defendant over on I-15 on April 8th after the driver didn't signal for 5 seconds before changing lanes. So basically, he's looking for an excuse to drive this car, pull this car over, because he's a little suspicious of the guy. Peoples approached the car. He noticed that the driver had rolled down the front windows and was playing Mormon music from a local radio station. He smelled the pungent scent of an air freshener and noticed that the driver's lip quivered as he spoke. Upon obtaining the driver's vehicle information, the trooper noticed it was a rental car. The playing of the music, Peoples believed, could indicate that the driver was overcompensating by attempting to affiliate with the local religious community.
Look how Mormon I am,
guys.
I couldn't possibly be doing anything wrong.
Peoples went back to his car to process a man's license for possible warrants. At this point, Peoples testified he planned to bring in a drug-sniffing police dog to search the car unless the driver's behavior, which he found indicated criminal activity, changed. Peoples asked the driver to get out of the car. Then he searched him. He then got a dog out of his car, which eventually indicated that there was something on the driver's side floorboard. Peoples searched the car and found methamphetamines, but Windmill ruled that the driver's behavior was not enough to pass the threshold of independent reasonable suspicion of criminal activity. What the trooper found suspicious... The Mormon music, the air freshener, nervousness, etc., should carry little weight, the judge wrote. These factors also describes hundreds, if not thousands, of law-abiding citizens, Windmill wrote. Therefore, diverting from the traffic stop to a drug investigation was a violation of the Fourth Amendment, that obviously being the unlawful search and seizure.
Mm-hmm.
So, I thought that was interesting. And then I'll end on this, because this happened to be stapled to the last page.
Oh.
This I thought to be interesting, and you'll be like, Richie, what are you doing here? But I think that it's fascinating.
Okay.
This statement from the president, Donald J. Trump, try that again, regarding the passing of Thomas S. Monson. Melania and I are deeply saddened by the death of Thomas S. Monson, a beloved president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. While serving for over half a century in the leadership of his church, President Monson demonstrated wisdom, inspired leadership, and great compassion. Considered a prophet by the nearly 16 million members of the LDS Church, his message was one of optimism, forgiveness, and faith. Our thoughts and prayers are with his three children and the rest of the Monson family.
I saw the truck drive up.
You saw the truck drive up?
With thoughts and prayers.
Ah, I got a big truck full of thoughts and prayers.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
But a polished statement that I don't think
Wikipedia
he wrote.
Yeah, Wikipedia just like the rest of us can. It's amazing.
That I don't feel like he wrote.
Nope.
But I will give him the respect of saying at least he didn't, you know, people will be like, but is it, you know what? In that particular instance, I'm giving him credit. A great statement about our prophet. It was not derogatory in any way.
I acknowledge that it exists.
Yeah, that statement exists?
Yep.
Nice. But I feel like that's what more people wanted from the New York Times was a positive thing about he was great, people loved him, he was a prophet, and we're sad that he's passed.
Yes, I think you're right.
We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
We hope that those who are sick or otherwise afflicted will be well enough to listen next week.
I love that you snapped and your son like came to your beck and call. What are we doing here? Is he doing
one? He asked if he could say the final line with us.
The cultural hall, he's going to say that with us?
Yeah, do you want to say something else?
You can do the when we drive now I can't think of how it goes because I always have the same way of saying it. That if you weren't healthy enough,
then you can listen next week.
And when the time comes.
I hope this podcast strengthens your testimony.
Wait,
it's a podcast show.
This podcast show.
Thank you.
Yeah. And when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row
of the cultural hall. Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat.